Hello and welcome to Press TV's debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Thanks so much for being with us. Iran's intelligence ministry says it has dismantled a CIA spy ring. Now, the ministry has published videos and photos of some of the CIA agents and say that their investigation has been taking place over the last year. Washington denies Tehran's claim, but of course, Washington has a long history in trying to infiltrate Iranian society and overthrowing the government of the Islamic Republic.
Iran says it has broken up a spying ring of the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, the CIA. In a documentary released on Monday, the spies revealed how they were seduced to get engaged in espionage activities.
قضیه رو فراموش کردیم این چیزا و یه پاکت هم به من داد که توش 5,000 دلار بود
شیره جون من رو به قول معروف کشیدن اونجا و یه مبلغ ناچیزی هم پول با توجه به اینکه حالا مشکلاتی داشتم به من دادن اما در مقابل اون هویت و شخصیت و آبرو و حیثیت من همه رو گرفتن
Iranian officials say the CIA hired Mossad to collect information in vital sectors, including nuclear, military, power, oil, and foreign trade.
از حوزه وزارت نیرو، از حوزه زیرساخت، از حوزه مسائل فرهنگی و آموزشی، از حوزه مسائل هسته‌ای و عرض کنم خدمتتون که اقتصادی، نفت، تجارت خارجی، صنایع موشکی، صنایع نظامی، دشمن سعی در جمع‌آوری اطلاعات در حوزه‌های مختلف داره و ما در پرونده‌های قضایی با انواع و اقسام کسانی که در حوزه‌های مختلف توسط دشمن به کارگیری شدن بوده ایم.
The intelligence ministry says the spying ring comprises 17 Iranian citizens, all of whom have confessed to acting as spies for the U.S. intelligence service. The judiciary says some of them will face the death penalty and the others will be sentenced to long prison terms. Meanwhile, Iran's intelligence minister says the country is fully aware of the treacherous act of CIA henchmen.
اینترنت قرمز در اختیارشون قرار میگیره و سرویس های امن ارتباطی در اختیارشون قرار میگیره فکر نکنن که این سرویس های امن ارتباطی اونها رو از اشراف اطلاعاتی وزارت اطلاعات خارج میکنه و میتونن به دور از چشم وزارت اطلاعات حرکت خائنانه خودشون رو دنبال بکنن یا به قصد طمع های مالی یا به قصد پناهندگی خارج از کشور و امثال اینا مرتکب خیانت به آب و خاک مقدس کشور خودشون بشن.
This is not the first time that Iran has arrested CIA spies. In April, Iran said it had uncovered nearly 300 CIA spies, both inside and outside the country over the past years. As tensions run high between Tehran and Washington, the arrest of the U.S. spies by the Iranian intelligence service has dealt a humiliating defeat to the United States Central Intelligence Agency.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program, founder of American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane out of Washington, D.C., and former American intelligence linguist Scott Ricard out of St. Petersburg, Florida. Welcome both of you to the program. Well, let's start this off in D.C. And Michael, well, Iran's intelligence ministry is reporting about this spy ring. And how likely is it that the CIA is actively involved in trying to destabilize Iran and actively recruiting individuals to do this?
It would shock me if the CIA was not involved in that kind of activity. This is what spy agencies do. Virtually every country has one to further and protect their interests in both friendly and non-friendly powers around the globe. I mean, look, there was a scandal about 4 or 5 years ago when it came out that President Obama was listening to Angela Merkel say goodnight to her husband on her cell phone. If we're spying on Angela Merkel's private phone calls, then I certainly think it's reasonable to assume that we have a rather robust program in Iran trying to find out pieces of information that would be helpful to us as we deal with the world situation, and particularly Iran in that part of the world.
A robust program means what? It's one thing to try to get information. It's another thing, do you not think so, Michael, of trying to actually destabilize a government and cause chaos in a society?
Yeah, I'd say the destabilization is one step above gathering information, maybe three steps above gathering information, or however many steps you want to put on it. And it would not surprise me at all if the CIA had a program of destabilization that would be multifaceted. So, you know, part of that might be disinformation. Part of it might be working with resistance groups. There could be any number of things that a spy agency could be doing under those circumstances. And my definition of a robust program would be more rather than fewer of those kinds of activities.
Okay. Well, Scott, your take on all this. I mean, where is the red line? It's one thing, as I was saying to Michael, to have a robust program, as he called it, a misinformation campaign. Isn't it different when your goal is to destabilize, create chaos in the society, no matter the cost as far as human lives and suffering in a country?
Well, sadly, there is no red line when it comes to the United States and the intelligence community. They've had a systemic operation in Iran since the 1950s. Obviously, it was absolutely disrupted in 1979 during the revolution. And certainly for the last 40 years, it has maintained a systemic nature whereby they've worked with everything from humanitarian groups like Amnesty International, journalist outlets like Newsweek, where you had Mazyar Bihari, who was absolutely supporting the Green Revolution. And then they turn out and they make a propaganda film out of Rosewater, for God's sakes. The fact is that this is not a surprise whatsoever. I completely agree with Michael Lane. Unfortunately, this is not an information gathering operation. If you just look at what happened with Stuxnet and the fact that the United States was air hopping a virus into Iranian nuclear facilities and blowing up Iranian centrifuges using cyber warfare. This is an absolute act of war. And obviously the Iranians have been incredibly resilient and incredibly just standing by and unfortunately not able to retaliate because of the repercussions. And that's absolutely because of the stand in which the American media, the American government, and their Western allies continue to demonize Iran at the same time while they're maliciously attacking the country with acts of warfare on a constant basis.
What about that, Michael? You heard what Scott said about acts of war. So if the situation was reversed, we're sure what Washington would try to do. However, as Scott has just talked about, we see the U.S. media or mainstream media in general and being on board, of course, with the government and actually trying to demonize Iran, even if they are blowing up, Washington is blowing up centrifuges inside of Iran, or even if it's partly responsible and knows of, for example, Israeli killing Iranian scientists. But basically, nothing happens. They look the other way when that situation happened. And of course, the media tries to show a different perspective on it. So where is international law here, Michael?
Well, in fact, I think the media was somewhat glorifying of the Stuxnet program, which, you know, I'll allow Scott, for the sake of discussion, to attribute that to the United States. I don't think the United States has ever admitted that they were behind that program. And in fact, most of the quivers and arrows that have been pointed in anyone's direction under that usually go to Israel, not the United States. But for the sake of discussion, That was a program that was in violation of UN sanctions, and therefore it would seem it was a reasonable activity on the part of someone to go ahead and disrupt rather successfully for a couple of years, I guess, the centrifuge program by introduction of the Stuxnet virus. That's over, that's behind us. We have a new world now. We still have the exact same issues, though, and I would not be surprised to see one or more of Iran's adversaries over the course of time, perhaps even the very near future, engage in some other kind of cyber attack against the nuclear assets of Iran, or even to degrade their military in certain circumstances.
Well, Scott, what do you make of those comments? Because, as I said, whenever something happens in dealing with, for example, the United States or Israel or their allies and attacks on Iran, then immediately there is like a created justification. You heard what Michael said, that basically because what Iran was doing was illegal, and that was actually just keeping their nuclear reactor, because of that, then it justifies anything that they do.
Well, it's laughable. I mean, obviously, Michael, you know, he dismisses it on behalf of Iran. That's over. That's behind us. For God's sakes, you know, let's stop at Stuxnet. Let's talk about 10 years in the 1980s raining down rockets upon Iran, rockets provided to Iraq. Intelligence provided to Iraq by the United States and the CIA, gas, poisonous gases provided to Iraq by the United States and their allies, murdering not only Iranians, but also murdering Kurds. I mean, this is just a systemic problem. Is that behind us too, Michael Lane? Can you go and just start wars and murder over 500,000 people in two different countries? I don't consider that just being behind us, and you cannot dismiss that on the behalf of the Iranian people. This is the problem, is that, oh, you're supposed to forget about the fact that with bad things that we've done to you over the past 70 years. That is not how it works. People in other countries remember, and they know, and they do not trust, and they do not ever, everyone doesn't walk around saying death to America. There are many people who understand this is not an American problem, but this is a geopolitical problem, which in the Americans have embroiled themselves alongside the UK, alongside the French, and alongside the Swedes and other previous allies that the Americans inherited as part of their close relationship with the United Kingdom. And sadly, the Zionists have a very hard influence on those governments as well. And this is the elephant in the room that no one will address. Because if you do, it's political, just political suicide in the United States. So let's be clear here. There are underlying things that are driving American policy, and certainly dismissing the acts of warfare that have continued against Iran is highly just ridiculous in the nature of which people need to be talking about what's happening in current times. The current times are absolutely reflective upon 40 years of illegal warfare, economic warfare, and illegal warfare against a sovereign nation, Iran. And this has happened not only by the United States, but their allies as well.
Well, speaking of acts of warfare, Michael, is it not ironic to you that at the same time, U.S. President Donald Trump continues to say he wants to sit down with the Iranians, at the same time we see these various espionage rings being broken up inside of the Islamic Republic? So isn't that a sign that actually the goal of the United States is the destruction of the Islamic Republic, not really sitting down and talking to the Islamic Republic of Iran?
Well, I think it's a matter of degree. I take the president at his word. I do think that just like President Kim in North Korea, he would like to sit down with the leaders, the decision makers in Iran, and state his case as to what he thinks we have in common and how we can get along and how we can have a very productive future together. At the same time, with Iran on its current course of action, which the United States finds to be adversarial and destabilizing in the region, I understand Iran has a different point of view. but which the United States finds adversarial and destabilizing, that some further destabilization of the regime that would distract it from what our State Department calls exportation of terrorism, even to the point where the regime becomes so distracted and perhaps there's an uprising of the people and a change in government is made, the United States would be very, very comfortable with that. But I think that President Trump is ready to live within the realities of where we are today. He's ready to live with the regime that currently leads the country of Iran, and he just wants to find a way to get along. That first step in that direction is to start talking. That may or may not ever happen, but I think it would be good for both sides if it did.
Scott, you're shaking your head. Very interesting comments, though, by Michael. The first steps are just talking. I'm not sure where those first steps exactly start, because, of course, as you said, it's been 40 years of sanctions, 40 years of different types of, whether it's hot war or economic war, but total pressure from Washington on Tehran. Your take, Scott.
Yeah, I mean, maybe in some sort of Disney movie that might be true. But unfortunately, the facts are remain that, you know, unless the United States is showing up with a massive checkbook and offering reparations and huge apologies, I wouldn't trust the United States as far as I could kick them. At this point, you know, Donald Trump has proven to be nothing but a chump when it comes to making negotiations with a country. He's being made a fool of by the North Korean leader. Obviously, the South Koreans and the Chinese are the ones that are really conducting any kind of legitimate, any type of legitimate relationships. Certainly, the Chinese have been very effective, and the South Koreans have actually been very receptive. I wouldn't be surprised that the South Koreans become more like Germany in the sort of the Western alliance, where they start distancing themselves more because of the nature in which the Western geopolitical influences have been absolutely despotic in their activities. You know, obviously what happened in Libya, this was a tremendous act of warfare that was criminal in nature, and it destroyed probably one of the most effective nations in the history of the continent. And certainly what happened in Syria, another horrific event that the U.S. was behind. And the fact that the Iranians were actually the ones that stabilized not only Syria, but they also stabilized Iraq. Let's be clear here. The stabilizing force in the region is Iran. The destabilizing force in the region is the United States and their allies. So, you know, obviously, Mr. Lane is coming from a very pro-Pentagon, pro-Western perspective. He's very biased in his commentary. But the facts remain is that Iran has been a tremendous force in the area, stabilizing Iraq and stabilizing Syria. So this has been something that's happened in our lifetime. Certainly no one has done anything to stabilize Libya. Libya is in chaos, and the United States and their allies have their hands very much in that pie of making that a terrible situation. And certainly that's been the same case in many places in which they've operated geopolitically.
What about that, Michael? That does seem to be the irony of it all. As Scott has said, Iran has been the stabilizing factor in the region, and yet it is the main country that the United States continues to try to overthrow, continually trying various ways, whether it's, as we're talking about tonight, in dealing with CIA rings or actively recruiting others, just trying to start basically a revolution, if they could, the goal trying to overthrow the government. The question would be is why? If stabilization is the goal, which it should be, of course, in any region, then why would Washington continually inflict this type of acts upon Iran?
Well, okay, I'm just going to lay it out real seriously, honestly, and directly here. What each country wants is stabilization among their allies and destabilization among their adversaries. Syria was a country where President Obama declared that we wanted to have a regime change there. So he was actively trying to destabilize that country to the point where Assad might be forced to leave. On the other hand, Iran was very happy with Assad being the president of Syria. It was a good friend of theirs, an ally, and so their objective was to keep the stability of the Assad regime going. Let's flip that around for some other examples. There are a lot of countries that the United States consider allies where we would primarily like to see them remain stable. They would be Israel, they would be Saudi Arabia, they would be Egypt, and you can take a look around the globe and see areas where the United States State Department has accused Iran of trying to destabilize the governments of the friends of the United States.
Okay.
Whether it be the Houthi rebels down in Yemen that are threatening Saudi Arabia.
Michael,
or
I hate to
the,
cut you off. I got to give 30 final 30
Israel.
Seconds to Scott. Scott, go ahead. 30 seconds. We're at the end of the program. 30 seconds, Scott.
So what Michael Lane is like talking about here is the fact that, you know, he's absolutely supporting the Western effectiveness in their warfare in the Middle East. And sadly, they've been highly effective at destabilizing governments. And unfortunately, the countries like Syria and countries like Yemen and countries like, unfortunately, Iraq have been at the endured the Western destabilization. And this destabilization has been highly effective. And sadly, they haven't taken any accountability for it. And
okay.
It's only because the international courts and the international community is absolutely co-opted by the Western influences.
And
so
on that
this
note,
point,
I'm so sorry I have to end the program, but I appreciate both of you being with us. Founder of American Institute for Foreign Policy, Michael Lane, out of Washington, D.C., former American intelligence linguist, Scott Ricard, out of St. Petersburg, Florida. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi. Hope to see you next time.